And good afternoon to another edition of Podcast Quincy's City View with Mayor Tom Koch. My name is Mark Carey, his media director, and Mayor, welcome to your own office and your show.
Good to be here, Mark.
I got
to
change that up.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's not so interesting. So we had a good week, a very busy week. I mean, we have a very busy day here all the time, but I really want to turn to something a little bit more somber to start this show off with, and maybe just we should memorialize this person. Jonathan O'Driscoll.
Yes.
He's a firefighter.
Yeah, Quincy firefighter. I'm, you know, former Marine. I guess Marines never say former Marine, but he served in the U.S. Marine Corps. Great Irish family. Very tragic. He died suddenly, 33 or 34 years old. His wife, Allison, their son, Nolan. Just my heart breaks for them. You know, as a father of three, I think of his parents and having to bury a child. It's just beyond, you know, imagination to cope with. I mean, so the firefighters loved him. He was a great firefighter. He was a great big personality. When he came into the room, you knew he was there, smile ear to ear all the time. Just a tremendous firefighter, individual, a father, a husband, a son, son-in-law, brother, uncle. It's amazing, too, you know, I was at the funeral, and to see the brotherhood, that the firefighters really have something special, I'll tell you. And it's something similar to the Marines, actually, but you know, you don't see it anywhere else, the kind of camaraderie they have and loyalty to each other they have, and the brotherhood, truly, fellow Jake. So they come out in big force today. We had a number of cities and towns that helped fill our stations and cover for us while the firefighters were at the funeral and services. So, again, our deepest sympathy to the O'Driscoll family, and certainly keep them in our thoughts and prayers in the days ahead.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mayor. Appreciate you bringing that up. And there's really no way to segue from that except for just to go into the next issue here today. Well, actually, not an issue, but we did want to say that we had a very interesting guest the other day pop into the city and reached out to us, and I was very honored to be with you at this breakfast we had with Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, who came to Quincy. We had breakfast with her on Sunday morning.
As you know, we have a mutual friend,
yeah.
Jason Jones, that suggested to Tulsi that she talk to the mayor of Quincy at some point when she's in between stops in New Hampshire. So I reached out, and we sat down, and we talked quite a bit of time, actually. She was asking me about some issues. I was asking her about her position on some issues. And a great conversation. I was quite impressed with her. She's a woman of great intellect. She's articulate, and she's not an extremist on anything. She's more moderate, and I think that's what this country needs. Unfortunately, in the race that they're in on the Democratic side, it's tough to get, you know, oxygen in the room when you get that many candidates. And you know, she's not a darling of the left media, so makes it even harder for her to get into the conversation, if you will. She served her country. She's still in the Guard, in the Army. I think she's a major.
Yep.
And she's been in local government, and now, of course, serving in the Congress of the United States. And she has a lot to say about a lot of issues. And I like her stance on foreign policy, and not to be the police bully of the world, to go in and help when and where we should, but we can't take on all these battles everywhere in the world all the time. So, and she can speak with great credibility on that and integrity.
Sure.
Because she served. She was over in some of the battles over the years. So, and I liked her a lot. We talked about issues that, you know, cities face. You know, I explained to her how I thought this whole, regardless of how you feel about Donald Trump, one way or the other, it's just the obsession, if you will, I think, on the left with him from day one. I mean, he didn't even get sworn in, and they were trying to bring him down. I'm not saying he's helped himself in any way, and I'm not defending him in any way. But the reality is the people of this country expect business to be done in D.C.
And that's what you would say.
And that's what I'm saying to you. You know, we as older cities, you know, are looking for some help, and I specifically talked about infrastructure. Infrastructure is a major issue for our country. The last time we had major infrastructure upgrades was an Eisenhower with the interstate that was built nationally. Now, I'm not saying there haven't been grants here and things happen here and there, but overall, as a program for our nation to upgrade our infrastructure, there's a great void there right now. And, you know, we spoke about that, and I talked about, you know, our issues with, you know, whether it's old municipal buildings, whether it's old pipes, whether it's seawalls that need to be replaced, or pump stations, or tie gates, you know, fire stations, libraries, you name it. Everything is old and needs to be upgraded and replaced in some cases. And, you know, we need some help doing that. And, you know, we need a partner. And then we talked a little bit about, she was talking about how effective the Community Development Block Grant is.
Right, right.
The CDBG program, which goes to cities. And, you know, we get an allotment every year, and that helps, but it has great strings to it. They tell you exactly how you can spend and not to spend it, the federal government.
But you said years ago it wasn't like that, right?
No, that's right. I mean, you go back, it was explained to me years ago by Johnny Gillis, who the former city clerk. When
that's right.
Richard Nixon was president, they started what they called revenue sharing. So the federal government would, at the time, Quincy got $2 million a year from the federal government under that guise of revenue sharing. And then for the city to use it as they saw fit, because we know what our needs are, right? I mean, some communities, it may be schools, some it may be seawalls, some it may be libraries, some it may, you know, there's a myriad of issues and needs that you could apply this kind of funding to. It really goes up my keister. The federal government always thinks they know what's best for us.
Right.
Big brother, it drives me crazy. Yeah. And I think the greatest example of that is the Environmental Protection Agency, which is a bloated agency that, in my opinion, has lost its mission. I mean, when the EPA started, they would go into communities and help correct problems. Now they're a punitive agency. They go in, they look for violations and put intense fines on the establishments, whether it's a city or a business or what have you. You know, years ago, they would come in and say, hey, we recognize there's a problem here. We're going to bring some money to the table. You bring some money to the table. Let the state bring some money to the table. Let's fix this problem.
That's great. Yeah.
You know, it's a whole different world now. Now it's a daily fine, and they want you to do this and want you to do that. You know,
and new regulations every week.
Oh, it's insane. It's insane. I jokingly have said to former Congressman Delahunt over the years that you guys gave all your power away. So when the Congress creates all these agencies and then they promulgate their rules and regulations, you know, Congress then becomes almost impotent on some of these things. You know, you got these bureaucrats in Washington that aren't elected, are not accountable to anybody. I'm on the ballot, you know, on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And I have to respond and answer and be accountable to people. You know, so I'm not a big fan of how they conduct business. I think the original mission for it and the original execution of improving our water quality and all of that, air quality, I think it had great validity, but I think it's really become so. To me, that is one of a number of, in my opinion, very bloated federal agencies. You know, the federal government, in my opinion, to a lot of left wing wacky Democrats, government is their god. The government's got the solution and answer for everything, particularly at the federal level, and I just think it's outrageous. You know, we at the local level, particularly a city, we know what our needs are, we know what our challenges are, we know our city best. We don't need bureaucrats from D.C. telling us how we should run our city. Like we don't want clean water? Give me a break, you know? Now, having said that, you know, we have a great congressman, Congressman Steve Lynch. This guy is in the district every week. He does his job in D.C., representing us, fighting for us. And as he has indicated to me, it's tough to get, use the term oxygen in the room, to talk about real day-to-day issues because of all the goings-on down there. So whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, whether you like Pelosi or not like Pelosi, the reality is we're not getting the people's business done in D.C. these days, and it's very, very disheartening. So we talked about that, Tulsi and I, and she was very, she was listening. She came back with some questions, as you know, follow up. And,
sure.
And I really like her style. I mean, we're going to have another conversation, and I'd love to hear a little bit more because we had about an hour together, but maybe a little bit more than that. So I like her reputation. I like her style, and I think she brings a little bit more sensibility to the table. You know, I know if you listen to the left, Donald Trump is extremely right. If you listen to the right on the Donald Trump side, you know, the left is extremely left. You know, we got to come to the middle.
Yeah.
We got to come to some compromise and getting some things done. You can't govern from extreme right or extreme left. Anyway, we had a good conversation. I, you know, wished her well. She was between New Hampshire and then flying out of Boston, I think. I don't know if she was heading home. I had another stop.
She was in the debate the other night as well.
Yes, she was. Yes. Yeah. And she had
did a great
talked
job.
Ahead whether she should go in or not because she wasn't real happy with the way the Democratic National Committee was handling things. And she's, you know, she raised some good points. And when you look at it, you know, 4 years ago, it really was rigged for Hillary Clinton. I mean, you look back at, I was no Bernie Sanders fan, but you know, what they did to him was really outrageous.
Right, right.
You know, so it's kind of, there is some irony. I and again, I'm not picking sides here, but it strikes me pretty funny that the press zeroes in on any minor negativity on this president's administration. And by the way, a lot of these wounds are self-inflicted. However, you know, I'm not talking about blemishes, but major wounds are kind of dismissed on the left side that, oh, that's nothing. There's nothing to that. There's nothing to that. You know, the vice president and his son and all that. Oh, there's nothing to that. Well, if you're going to hold the same standards of fairness and morality and values, it should be the same across the board. You know, so in reality, a lot of people that have been in D.C. a long time, I think, have lost touch with reality. And they're inside that bubble, as they say. And that's where I don't think Tulsi Gabbard has found herself. I know that's not where Steve Lynch has found himself. They actually are in touch with their constituency and the average person
crossing
every day.
Crossing the aisle,
working with the other side. Both of them do that very, very well. There's some that don't talk to the other side. I mean, it's insane. You know, when I went to the U.S. Conference of Mayors meetings years ago when Jim Sheets was mayor, and we went down together, and sometimes Richie Mead from the planning department, Steve McGrath would come down, and they had great, great programs, forums, and speakers, and it was all mayors, you know. Now you go to that, and there's the Democratic mayors, the Republican mayors, there's separate caucuses. I mean, it speaks to the division in this country that we're going in the wrong direction. And to get back to a little history lesson, John Adams and George Washington were both very, very concerned about the party system in this country. They really were. And my guess is they would be screaming and hollering today to see what the hell's going on, I tell you. Aside from the issues, I mean, it's the division, the extreme sides is just, and you know, to some degree, I think that's why Trump was elected, was people just said, you know what, you know, I know some of those old manufacturing states, you know, they were getting promises decade after decade, nothing was happening, and the people threw their hands up and said, hey, what do we have to lose, you know?
Yeah.
So to some degree, I say to the extreme left Democrats, remember why the guy was elected. People want to get stuff done.
Yeah.
So here we are in this mode of anti-Trump impeachment period, and maybe he should be impeached. I don't know all the facts. I don't know all of that,
but we're
sucking up all the time down there, all the resources, all the energy that could be used really to move our nation forward. And I've said this a number of times. If we don't get our act together, infrastructure-wise, China is going to kick our ass in 10 years. They are pouring billions into the infrastructure in their country, in cities and ports and in transportation. And in my view, and I say this respectfully, I have great respect for the culture and the people of China. I have no respect for the government of China. And I think they are our enemy going forward, socially, economically, and politically. And we got to pay attention and smarten up, or we're going to be left behind.
It's true. Well, we appreciate Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard and her sister, Vryn, who also came.
She was lovely, too.
We know they'll be coming back, so we want to thank them. But, you know, that also leads to another conversation. The governor was in town yesterday. We won't get into the reasons why he was here, but it does speak to why things work really well in Massachusetts for a lot of reasons. I heard him talk about partnerships with local cities and with how important the partnership is with Quincy and your relationship with the governor. Talk a little bit about, if you would, about that.
Relationships are important, right? No matter what you do in life. Now, there's some professions that probably require more work on relationships, and one of them is the seat I sit in. You know, relationships matter. And, you know, we've had a great relationship with this governor from day one. He has been nothing short of a strong leader for the Commonwealth. Now, I know that not everyone agrees with him on everything. And quite frankly, I don't agree with him on some of the social issues. I'm far more conservative. He's far more liberal. But you know what? We see the needs of Quincy and the Commonwealth, and we're working on addressing those needs. I mean, I have great admiration. You know, I did serve as mayor when Governor Patrick was in office, and I think he was a very gifted speaker. I don't think he was a gifted manager. And I think this guy is a gifted manager. He is a true CEO. Rather than hiding from anything, he hits the issues head on. He takes responsibility. The MBTA is a great example. Great example. I know people are frustrated, but he's the first governor in 30 or 40 years that's paying attention to the needs of the T. It would be easy to say, hey, that's a separate authority. You know, that's the authority. It's not me. That's the general manager. But you know, he didn't do that. You know, the opioid issue, the substance abuse, he tackled that head on, rolled up his sleeve. The housing initiatives, modernization program for municipalities, there was a lot of outdated, crazy rules and regs the state had that we had to follow on procurement. It was nuts. It was costing all kinds of efficiency. He tackled that. Now, I give the legislature great credit because they've been working with him. And he's been working with them. There's a true respect. When I sit with Majority Leader Ron Mariano, and I do that on a regular basis, state rep from Quincy Point, a good friend, a good guy, he says nothing but good things about him. They don't always agree, but there is that respect. And when you have the respect, then you can sit at the table and have the dialogue, and you can work out issues. And again, we're not perfect in Massachusetts, but I'll tell you, I think we're a hell of a model that the nation could pick up on and use and say, hey, if you have a Republican governor in Charlie Baker and a Democratic legislature, Senator Keenan, who to me is, he's my pal,
yeah,
but he's very liberal. But in the Senate, he's like a moderate over that party. Yeah. So there's a lot of different ideologies represented on the Hill, and that's how government's supposed to work. But at the end of the day, people expect, as I said, their work to get done. And he's been a tremendously, he's been a great partner to Quincy. He's been, him and Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito have been phenomenal. The Attorney General, Maura Healey, we've worked with her on a number of issues. She's been a great leader on some of the consumer issues with National Grid and Eversource and some of these other companies that are coming in to try to take advantage of some people with billing and all. So it's important that we are connected and have these relationships so that we can get the people's business done. What I respect most about the governor is, and he was in local government, so he served in his town in Swampscott, so he understands local government, and he understands that things bubble up from the constituency, from the residents. It shouldn't be top down. It should be coming up from the constituency.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big difference from where we were with Governor Patrick. And I said it respectfully. He was never involved in any kind of local government or managing anything. So I think he was viewing things from the top down and trying to institute his view and his thing, his agenda on people, where it has to be kind of a shared discussion and a shared responsibility. And I think, the governor has empowered people like me. He's gone into cities and communities and said, how can we be of help? How can we work together to get some of these issues accomplished? Recognizing that, you never have all the resources and money that you need, but how can we make progress? How can we move the ball down the field? So I tell you, Deb Goldberg's another one. She's been very, very great state treasurer. She's work with us on the school building authorities needs that we have. We're just going to have a official opening this coming Sunday at the new Southwest Middle School.
Fantastic.
The kids have been in there for a while, but everything is now complete, so we're going to celebrate on Sunday at 2 o'clock. It's open to the public. And again, the school building authority, which was started when Tim Cahill was the treasurer, a great mission, specific funding to help communities rebuild their school systems from the physical side of things. And another great partnership between state and local government. So, everything is, not everything is perfect. And I know there's people that don't like me, will never like me, maybe disagree with the direction we're going. And I respect all that. That's fine. But at the end of the day, I think the average person wants to see things happen, wants to see things get done. And we're making great progress in this city. And we're doing it because we have great cooperation and support. And, the city council has been phenomenal on moving downtown stuff forward. And, we get the appropriation before them now in the new learning center, getting positive response from them. The school committee, they're very caring about the kids of our city and working with the superintendent to move our system forward. Our state legislators, I've mentioned Keenan and Mariana, but this Representative Ayers, Representative Chan, and Representative Hunt, they've been terrific to work with, because they know when we have a priority, when we have something local, whatever they can do to advance it at the state level, they do. We got great partners there. I've mentioned Congressman Lynch. He's been phenomenal. Senator Markey's office has been in touch with us quite a bit on issues. And from time to time, we do hear from Senator Warren's office. I'm a lucky guy because I got a job I love. We got a great team. But more importantly, we have good relationships with our colleagues in government. And for the most part, we're all rowing in the same direction, getting the people's business done.
All right. Well, let's just shift gears. We spend a lot of time talking about the downtown, and there's a lot of other areas in the city that are being worked on and in the beginning stages of, or in the middle of, and Wollaston had a neighborhood meeting on Tuesday night.
They did. I was not there, but it was run by the planning department. But before I mention Wollaston, I know sometimes I hear from people, you're spending too much time on the downtown. I tell people to open up their eyes a little bit, because if you look around the city, we're on our fourth discussion for our fourth new replacement school.
Amazing.
Firehouses are being renovated. We get new apparatus coming in. All our parks and playgrounds are being renovated. All the other schools have been worked on and renovated. We've got work going on at the library. There's much happening across the city. We got 100 roads being touched with improvements, pipes and sewer and drain improvements and gas line replacements and road replacements. So I do recognize all of the neighborhoods and the importance of those neighborhoods in our city. So, but one of the pieces that drives the economy of the city are those commercial areas that we've also got to focus on. So we are focused a little bit more on Wollaston Center. We think that it's tired. It needs some upgrading. It needs some rehabilitation and some help. Now that the Wollaston T station is complete, which was huge. Thank you, Governor Baker. Thank you to our legislators. What a great improvement to the Wollaston Center.
Looks amazing.
We met with, you know, I think I mentioned the show before. I met with just about every business owner down there over the last few years. And, you know, we're on the cusp, I think, of some major new development and infusion of investment into Wollaston Center. It's a great area. You get that real Hamlet village feel when you're walking through Wollaston. You know, we're waiting to hear from the owner and developer of what was the Wollaston Theater site. He had a proposal actually a few months back. We're waiting to hear from the proposal that was the old Bell and Barry's Deli block. I think it's Koi now is the name of that restaurant with some of the stores. And that was going to be a potential brewery and restaurant and some additional housing upstairs. And that's another point I'd like to make. You know, what we're doing with like the downtown and parts of Wollaston, you're going to see more residential above with retail below. Well, if you go back hundreds of years, that's fundamental what happened in Europe. That no matter what old town you go to in Europe, a village, that's what you see. You know, that's what went on. It's so when you have the red line stations, it makes perfect sense to have more of that in around the stations. People have easy access to public transportation. They get downstairs and they can go in the business district, go to eat, get their cleaning done, get their hair cut, whatever the needs may be. So it's interesting because a number of years ago, Norfolk Downs, North Quincy was kind of struggling. Mm. And Wollaston was thriving more this back 10, 15 years. It's kind of flipped.
Yeah.
North Quincy is really thriving. You walk through there in an early evening, it's bustling, it's hustling, a lot of foot traffic.
Really is, yeah.
Restaurants are busy. So we want to get that back for Wollaston, and we're going to be appointing an advisory group that's going to be kind of hopefully be a little bit of a liaison between the neighborhood and the city. A planning department spending a lot of effort on it. We're going to continue to ask the city council for some of those tools. We're going to create an urban redevelopment district, which gives us more tools in the toolboxes, for example, to use. Example of that is the block across from the Wollaston T. We've extended the district over onto that block between Brook, Arlington, and Beale. It's not a very good-looking block, so we want to see what tools we have that we can encourage some investment in that block as well. So I know that I think there may be 25 or 30 citizens at this last meeting weighing in. They broke into separate workshops on different aspects of the downtown. But I appreciate the public's interest, and every step of the way, the public will be informed and involved. And hopefully, over the next couple of years, we're going to see some great improvements for Wollaston Center.
Well, thank you, Mayor. That's just about all the time we have. So, anything else you want to add? Oh, by the way, this Saturday, talk about this. Well, this weekend, we have a couple great things happening.
We talked about it last week, but Captain Stratton, that dedication ceremony is Saturday at 11 at the new Stratton Way at West Gonham Street, which was formerly Arlington Street. It's open to the public 11 o'clock. We have Vice Admiral Kohler coming. He's the Director of Navy Intelligence. He's going to be speaking on behalf of the Navy, and looking forward to see Dick Stratton come home.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And on Sunday, of course, we have the real grand opening, I guess, of the Southwest Middle School. Is that right?
2 o'clock.
Two o'clock. Great. Thanks, Mayor. We'll see you next time on City View with Mayor Tom Koch. I'm Mark Carey. Have a good day, everybody.